Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Surfing the internet, this sentence was above a chart, and it reads this. NFL training camp is nearly upon us. When and where will your team begin its journey to a Super Bowl? Look below. Their training camp is for one purpose, and that is to reach Super Bowl 48. The women's U.S. national team has scheduled lots of friendly games to prepare them for the World Cup in Canada this summer. Marching bands rehearse, flag corps practice, drill teams practice the precision march, and all in preparation for competitions. And you, and your Christian faith. Is it just Jesus and me? Or is there more? Much, much more. Growing up playing soccer, I did not enjoy the few times I sat on the bench. Every thought and every muscle as I was sitting on the bench wanted to be out on that field playing in the action on the field. I practiced hard, focused on the task, and made sure I was a starter in as many games as possible. I did not join the team to sit on the bench. I joined the team to play, and I joined to play to win. Now, I being past, well, look at me, feel free to whisper, well past my playing prime, I still want to be in the game. And you, and your Christian faith, is it at ease being just Jesus and me? Or is there much, much more for you? Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee and said to the fishermen, "Come, follow me." And he also added, "And I will make you fishers of men." They got up, they left their boats, their business, everything to follow. So compelling was the call to follow, pulling their hearts. A tax collector sitting at his work, collecting taxes, hears, "Follow me." Up he gets and leaves a very lucrative business with a fabulous future of wealth to tread the dusty roads and have no place to lay his head sometimes. Others, too, were compelled by the call to follow. Together they had walked the dusty roads and sometimes muddy paths between places, wandering here and there as their master who called them taught them. The Gospels, time and time again, show that the disciples just did not grasp what was right before their eyes. Even with many signs, much more than recorded in the Gospels, the followers of Jesus scattered and ran in fear when Jesus was taken prisoner. They did not understand that Jesus was to suffer and die. Die in such a brutal fashion. But they were there to learn and be witnesses. Witnesses so that one day you, yes, you would know the truth that sets you free. Jesus is the Son of God, the crucified and risen one, the one sent by the living God to be Savior and redeem the fallen. We heard about Isaiah before holy God, seeing the holy place and the Lord on high, exalted, hearing the seraphs singing as they soared with their six wings, calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." The sight, the sound shook Isaiah, and he cried, "Woe is me! I'm going to die. I'm going to perish. I am unclean. I've seen the King, the Almighty Lord. Holy is our Lord God. Holy and righteousness beyond our comprehension, yet full of compassion. The call went out, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah answered, here I am. Send me. Isaiah was sent. The living Lord God, full of majesty and holy righteousness, has chosen to work through flawed, sinful human beings. Prophet after prophet was sent to Israel. Remember the Lord your God. Return to the Lord your God. Worship the Lord your God. Have no other gods. The people would not listen and turned away. So the Father sent the Son. Now John chapter 17. The Son is soon to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. And Jesus prays. John chapter 17 is often referred to as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. There are three parts. First, he prays for himself. Second, he prays for his disciples. And third, he prays for the believers that will hear the message from the disciples. I begin at the beginning of John chapter 17. Let the word of God speak powerfully. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus then turns his attention and prays for the disciples, starting at John 17, verse 6. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me. For they are yours, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. The name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. During the 3 years the disciples were with Jesus, the disciples were shown the Father. Jesus revealed to them the Father. 3 years together, learning and experiencing the words of the Father that Jesus gave to them. Words accompanied by signs to show that Jesus is the one the Father sent. Jesus is the only Son of God. There is so much more that took place during those 3 years than the gospel records. The little conversations that took place while they strolled down the path, watching morning after morning of Jesus rising and going off by himself to pray. John concludes his gospel with this testimony, John chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. "This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. Even if every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written." We forget that during those 3 years, the disciples' time with Jesus is jam-packed with more conversations, more teaching moments than the Gospels testify. And those 3 years were to prepare them for the sending that was to come. While Jesus was with them, they experienced being sent for short trips, going out two by twos. But a big sending was to come that would carry them from Jerusalem to mile after mile after mile, 1,000+ miles in many directions from Jerusalem, and the strength to sustain and survive the suffering was coming too, being sent by the Father. John chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus prays, "My prayer is not for them," that's the disciples alone, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Jesus prayed for the believers of the generations to come, who would believe because the disciples went and told about Jesus. All the generations that are to come till the time the trumpet sounds in the sky and the sun returns with his glory flashing across the heavens. Jesus prayed for those who will believe in Jesus through their message. The disciples' message is much more than the four Gospels. The disciples' message is also found in the rest of the books of the New Testament. The disciples' message includes all that was written in the Old Testament too. For their message, Jesus is the Son of God, crucified for the sins of the world. Paul expresses it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." The price was paid and forgiveness freely offered in Jesus' name. It's all a part of the great love story of the living God for humanity. The compassion of God is through and through and through all the pages of the Holy Scripture from beginning to end. Repent! And believe and live. The disciples were schooled 3 years in preparation to be sent. Sent as Isaiah was sent. And listen carefully now. And sent as you are sent. You are sent. This is where you worship. Out there is where you witness. This is where you are trained and prepared. Out there is where new believers are won to the kingdom of Christ. And you are the ones Christ Jesus is sending. Each one of you is being sent from the youngest to the oldest. You have the living God. And the living God has chosen you to work through, to build His church. What would you say about an NFL team that always trains and practices and never plays a single game? And what would you say about a high school band that always practices but never has a concert? Or what would you say about a chess player who always reads up on the latest moves and strategies but never sits down to play a match? What you would say about them is the same that could be said about a Christian, a follower of Jesus, that never shares Jesus with another. Even with perfect attendance pins for Sunday school, and perfect attendance for Sunday worship, not sharing Jesus is not entering the fray. Think back. Someone shared Jesus with you. Your mom? Was it your dad? Grandma, grandpa, uncle and aunt, or was it your best friend in high school? Was it a coworker or a teammate? Think back. Who shared Jesus with you? The point is, someone spoke the gospel of Jesus Christ into your life, and you believed. Now is the time to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ into other lives. That is how the church is built. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you believe. You follow Jesus. Redeemed by the blood of Christ, freely by God's grace. Have compassion for those who don't know Christ. Hurt in the heart for the lost. Before our very eyes, the culture is spinning into destruction. Be the grace that welcomes a prodigal son back home. Be the disciple that loves a sinner and shares the redeeming grace of the gospel. In here we worship our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In here we express our love as brothers and sisters in Christ as we are discipled. But out there, that's where the church's power is made manifest as the gospel of the living God is proclaimed. The disciples huddled in the upper room, but that is not what they were prepared for. They were sent by the power of the Holy Spirit to go into all the world. You are sent by that same Holy Spirit to go into all the world. And so now I speak very particularly to six very special young people. Confirmands, I'm speaking to you directly. Do I have your eyeballs and your attention? Next Sunday, you're going to be here where I am saying, I believe. That is fantastic. That is super special and wonderful. I'm looking forward to hearing what you say. But to put these words of Jesus into action in your lives, the I believe you say here, I encourage you, I exhort you in the name of the living God to be out there saying the same words, I believe. On the playground, with your buddies, with sports, wherever you are. It is fantastic you're saying, I believe through your brothers and sisters in Christ here. But the Christian faith is also to say, I believe out there. So with the same words you're using next week to show us your faith, I speak directly to you now in the name of the living God. Show your friends. Show the outcast in your class at school. Show the other ones that are choosing other things of destruction in their lives. And show them the compassion and grace of the living God. Tell them why you believe. So that Jesus can have mercy on their soul too. As he's had mercy on you and given you grace. And what I just said to these six very special people, it goes for all of you. Have compassion on lost souls so they may experience the grace of God. The disciples were sent. They spent 3 years with Jesus and they learned the compassion for the lost, hurting souls. We worship in here. We love each other's brothers and sisters in Christ in here. But it's out there where we make manifest the reality of the power of the living God to redeem the lost and the forsaken and the broken and the sinners and the most hurting people. Make the power of God seeable and knowable in your life by sharing Jesus. Share Jesus. I'll be a blubbering idiot in a moment if I don't stop now. So the Lord God bless you and give you such love and compassion for the lost. Amen.